Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
All those things you've been wondering about? Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the show, everyone. This is Jen Cruz, your host tonight, and this is the Journey Radio Show. We're talking about Bigfoot again tonight. So, as usual, Jenna Grover, my fellow She Squatcher, is on the line. Hey, Jenna, are you there?
I am here.
Are you live from Kansas City, Missouri?
Whoop, whoop. Yes, I am. Kansas City, Missouri. Hello. Shout out.
There is a She Squatcher in the house in Kansas City. Watch out, everybody. We were there last year. All of us were there last year. It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We were speaking at the Kansas City Paracon last year. So that was fun. What was that? August, I think. We traveled a lot last year, and we're traveling even more this year. Oh, yeah. And tonight we have a special guest on. Daniel Benoit from the East Coast Bigfoot Research Organization is coming back on the line with us because he needs to tell us about his personal experiences with Bigfoot, which last time he didn't get to tell us about because we got so busy talking about everything else. He's got too much to talk about with Bigfoot. So we're so glad that he said he would come back on. And if those are on the chat room are saying they're having trouble hearing it, refresh the page. They can't hear me, so I'm typing it in there. refresh the page. So we've got Daniel Benoit back on the line with us. Hey, Daniel, are you there?
Yes, I sure am, and thank you for having me back. This is awesome.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I couldn't have been asked to be on a better radio show, so this is awesome to be back with you guys.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. We're so excited you could come. And since we were just talking about how we were traveling to different events, you're actually coordinating one of our first events of the year, which is the East Coast Bigfoot Research Organization First Annual Virginia Bigfoot Conference. That is a mouthful.
Yes, it is. It is. For future reference, we're going to try to slim down that name. Thanks to you, Jen Cruz, more related to the new website, VirginiaBigfootCon.com. For future reference, people will be able to find us under Virginia Bigfoot Con. Of course, make sure if it doesn't say ECBRO, you don't want nothing to do with it. So I'm being selfish, but sometimes you have to be in this world. But unless it's the ECBRO, Virginia Bigfoot Con, go the other way. Anyway, I'm bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good stuff.
I'm laughing because of what's happening in the chat room. Limp is in the Zach is in the chat room saying, "Hey, Danny boy, do you have your Lobby the Lollipop?" Sorry,
I'm gonna behave. I'm gonna behave because you know what? I could put Zach on the spot. So
I'm just like, how does he know that it's a lollipop tonight?
everybody tell Zach to watch his step when he gets out of his work truck from now on. Yeah, he had a tumble the other day at work.
So let the audience in on a little secret. Jenna is traveling back from Texas because she's a little snowbird and she flies south for the winter. She is on her way back up to Minnesota, North Dakota, and that we're going to hit the ground running and looking for Bigfoot, that's for sure, as soon as she gets here. It is our tradition that when we are traveling, we have lollipops in the car. And so, because Jenna's on the road traveling back, we're having lollipops on the air because she's coming home. She's coming home. Yes. I'm so excited.
Coming home.
The other day I was in the store and I thought about you girls because you know what? There was a box of blow pops on the counter at the register. And I was like, I'll wait. And then, you know, I just never end up getting one, you know, since we're all face to face. I know the listeners don't see us, you know, interacting with each other, but so they only get to hear us, but you know, it's all good. So wouldn't maybe next time.
Wouldn't it be funny if everybody just started sending us big blow pops and we'd have boxes? Not to do it, anybody.
I'm not going to say no, but my favorite kind is green apple.
Green apple or blue raspberry is pretty doggone good. Although tonight I have cherry.
I think for the listeners, if you want to personally give Jen Cruz and Jen Groover blow pops, please come out to the ECBO Virginia Bigfoot Conference June 30th and July 1st. They will be there.
We will. Be there. We will accept blow pops.
We will.
So, get your blow pop autographed. I don't know.
That sounds bad, but okay. I don't know where I'd sign it, but okay.
Oh my!
Oh, you know, funny. It's just too much fun with all three of us on the air. Sorry, everybody, but we're a good time.
I'm waiting for my messages to start popping up. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's too funny. Okay, so we're going to get on with the show. Back to Bigfoot and the Bigfoot Con. Whoop. You know, Whoop is right. I love the Bigfoot conventions. It's one of my favorite things to be with the fellow Bigfoot hunters and monster hunters. It is just like that is my people. They are my people. It is so much fun.
Talking about Bigfoot hunting, you know, that's something else that we got going on here. We're looking forward to this. You know, I personally get out in the field, you know, as much as possible. Lately, I've been kind of relaxed and laying low. But, you know, it won't be long. I'll be out there a lot because, you know, I got a lot on my plate at the moment. But I got a lot that I've been planning that I'm looking forward to. One of the things we got going on, apart from the conference, the two-day event, we have a week-long Bigfoot camping expedition following. I mean, it's happening immediately right after the two-day event. And I do believe we're expecting a nice turnout. And I want, you know, this particular area, I've been asked a lot of questions about this area, you know, because there's a lot of new people that are getting to know me. They're not familiar with what I've posted and shared over the years. Well, yes, it is a very Bigfoot area. I mean, it's a very active Bigfoot area. And it's not just because of the experiences I and others have had there. You know, there's just everything out there. If you get out there, once you get out there, you'll feel it's a very squatchy area. Once you understand the environment, the ecology, you know, there's areas out there, parts of the area out there that will make you feel like you're back in time. Just the overgrowth of the, you know, 5 foot tall ferns, heavy tall pines. I mean, it's awesome. It's beautiful out there. And, you know, not to mention a lot of the discoveries that you come across if you take the time to look. I mean, you know, tracks, you know, all the wildlife that you could think of that we have here that you could think of on the East Coast, you know, your bears, your deer, coyotes, so forth. And yes, I will say, and this is for the naysayers, the elusive mountain lion. We do have mountain lions here in Virginia. So, you know, for those who say, no, they don't exist, you don't know what you're talking about. So I've seen them. So, yeah, it's just being out here, just jumping out there. It's an adventure in itself. But that's another thing I just want to bring to everybody's attention that, you know, it's a free camping, you know, trip. It's for a week long. It's conducted almost the same way as the BFRO does. The only difference is we don't charge people. So we want people to come out there to experience and to enjoy their time, not worrying about being able to afford to come out there. The only thing we ask is you bring your own food, gear, and shelter, you know, and come prepared for whatever. So, you don't know what to expect. It's every time I go out there, you know, you got to go out there with a mindset of you know, just don't expect anything to happen or see anything, because you can't rely on it. There's been several times I've been out there, never heard, see nothing. But there, the times I have brought people out there, it's blown my mind. I wasn't expecting nothing. I was so hoping they would be a disappointment, me bringing these people out there, you know, and it's like I'm sitting there hoping, come on, something happened out here. You know, I got, you know, these new people out here. I want them to experience them. I want them to hear what I tell them that's out here. And there's been a few times where people actually got to experience that, you know. And one of the times actually took place only a few years ago, back in 2014. And that was during one of our expeditions. That was not a disappointment. You know, as far as our time being out there, exploring, come across some awesome, amazing things, things that we just couldn't explain. You know, when we find things, when we come across the, you know, structures, things that look like things twined or woven together, you know, at all costs, we always try to combine, you know, try to explain things logically, you know. You know, because I know when it comes to finding odd things like that, structures, formations, I think that's a much debated thing in the Bigfoot world. You know, even with skeptics, you know, that could be weather, that could be an animal, that could be whatever, which, you know, those are all the things we look at. Because to me, it's more exciting to rule out everything and to pinpoint what it could be, try to eliminate all the other possibilities. Well, but let me back up. I'm slightly getting off of where I want to go with this. But yeah, back in 2014, we've had a whole week out there. You know, we've had some exploring. You know, we heard a few distant coyotes do their howls and hoots, and you know, but there was one particular night we went off for the evening, and when I say evening, it was still daylight. We did about a mile hike away from camp, and keep in mind that the general setting is you're already in the middle of the forest. It's very vast, very remote. No phone service, no running water except for the rivers, streams, and creeks. Well, we decided to head down towards the lake. There is a small lake there, and there were six of us. And what we decided to do is like, well, let's pair up. We had Cliff Stanley from Southwest Virginia, Tracy Arnold and his son Elijah. Then we had another couple, Kimmy and Darren. Well, all six of us decided to spread it out around the lake. We had some equipment with us, parabolic microphones, some night vision. You know, and while we were spread out around the lake, you know, trying to listen, you know, look around, but we ended up doing some vocalizations. And one of the couples that was with us, they were down at the, you know, they were an older couple, and they were down at the base of the lake. And so we were within radio communication, and we had asked, okay, hey, so-and-so, give us a vocalization. Let's see what happens. You know, let's try to wake this forest up. And they gave off a vocalization. And this was Kimmy DeSorda. She gave off a vocalization. To me, that was very identical to Bobo. It was a female version of Bobo. It sounded awesome. Yeah, we were excited because of the way it sounded. And, I mean, of course, it gave off a nice, you know, there was a slight echo there, but after it died down, we're listening, and all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, we get this response. And we were like, oh, all right. Everybody's on the radio. You guys hear that? Yeah. We're all cutting over each other on the radio, like, you know, getting all excited, you know.
Did you get it on audio? I'm just curious.
No, we did not. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's more disappointment to come.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but there's more coming. It's a disappointment, but I'll tell you, it's me personally, it's a memory. It's something I'll never forget. So it's a story to tell. Which after that happened there, after hearing the vocalization, it started to get nightfall came along, and then things started to pick up a little bit. You know, we started to hear more movement up on the bridge behind us. Now, I know Tracy and his son up behind them. Keep in mind, around the lake where we were spread out, there's these little box square docks that are on the edge of the lake. You know, and they're made for handicap accessible. And well, they're at one area, and me and Cliff were further up, and they kept starting to see. Well, Elijah, Tracy's son at that time, he was starting to feel a little uneasy, you know. And then what Tracy's son saw up on the hill behind him, I guess really freaked him out. He claimed to have seen a set of red eyes shine up on the ridge behind them. And then it was kind of, like I said, Tracy was trying to keep him calm. And then, you know, like I said, we heard movement up there. What sounded through our parabolic mics, what sounds like footsteps way up on the ridge. You hear limbs snapping and everything. And we all decided, okay, because of Tracy's son, he's feeling kind of sick at that time. And because of what he's experiencing, we all regrouped. We're like, all right, let's start working our way back towards camp. We've been out here for a few hours. You know, let's head back, you know. But we all got back together. And keep in mind, at this time, here it is, it's around midnight. And we started working our way back. And we weren't quiet. You know, we had to walk out the gravel road that brought us out to the main forest road. And then we still had a good hike back to our camp. But while we were hiking away from the lake, you know, we're kind of all spread out in this line. It's me, then Tracy Arnold behind me, and the others following. You know, so we're all talking about different things. But at the same time, we're kind of scanning our eyes back and forth, you know, side to side on the side of the forest road, looking for anything that might stand out, particularly eye shine. Because, you know, we had our headlamps on. Tracy Arnold, I think at that time he was the only one that had his parabolic mic out as we were leaving. So, you know, he was listening here and there. We spotted some eye shine on the right, which was, you know, it was pretty obvious. It was a deer, you know, because it's all the way you can see the head bob, plus the color, the color, identification, you know, it was most definitely a deer. But so as we're marching up, you know, we're hiking up, we're getting closer to the main forest road. Then something catches my attention over up on the left, and I'm staring at it. Yeah, I'm kind of like gazing at it. I stopped. I'm squinting, you know, and I was like, what in the world is that? You know, now at this particular time, what I think I'm looking at for a second is in the national forest where we are, there's these little yellow plaques, and they're posted on, you know, they're not common, but they're around. I've seen them in other areas out there. And usually, if you read small writing, it says no vehicle, you know, no motor vehicle beyond this point, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, then as I got more into focus, I noticed it was something else. And then it really stood out to me is when I seen blink. And that's when my heart started thumping and, you know, started to go up in my throat. So I didn't know what it was at first. I had no clue, you know, because all I know, it was sitting low to the ground. And I seen eyes blink. And I turned around right away. I said, Tracy, we got eye shine. We got eye shine. He came up. He spotted it for just a split second before it took off. So we all came up there. Tracy's like, come on, guys. We got some eye shine going on up here. So we all get up there in this little, you know, where we saw it. And at that particular time, we didn't realize the ground dropped right down. It sloped down to like five to 8 feet down, and we're up on the road. It slopes down. So that's when we realized, okay, whatever it was, maybe it wasn't as small as we thought it was. But when we all get up there, keep in mind, we all have headlamps on. Mm-hmm. And we all look over, we're looking, and all of a sudden right there, whatever that was probably 40 feet from the edge of the road. And we're not seeing the body. We're seeing the eye shine, and whatever this is doing this swaying side to side motion. Like, you know, I was like, what is this? I mean, it wasn't doing it slow. It was kind of like kind of fast, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't know. It was, We're like, what the heck are we looking at? You know, it's exciting. We're not understanding what we're seeing. We were kind of getting excited a little bit, but not quite, you know. And then after a couple of minutes observing whatever that was, you know, something else got our attention, just several feet to the right of it. And what we saw next was not as small. It was much taller. And we're estimating it. This had to have been at least a good 6 foot tall. And because the small one, you know, like we said, you know, we estimated about five feet. Well, the next subject was just as taller, judging by the height of the eye shine. Well, you know, this subject here was not moving. It basically blinked its eyes. That's the most movement we've seen was eye blinking. Now this is starting to get a little exciting. The small subject over here on the left is still swaying around. It slowed down a little bit, but it's still moving. The other subject is just staring there, blinking its eyes at us. And then, you know, we're trying to come up with whatever. We're trying to figure this out. You know, our headlamps, as much light we're shining over there, why are we not seeing we should be seeing more details, you know?
Yeah.
And because it's pitch dark, it's midnight, and, you know, so we started to get, you know, we're getting a little hyped up a little bit here. And then now it does get more exciting here because just to the right of the 6 foot subject, there was something else that was sitting down below behind the bushes next to that one. And what we saw next, this is what we believe might've been trying to crouch down and hide. Cause we saw a set of eye shine gradually growing. I mean, getting taller and taller.
Like it was getting up.
Yes, exactly. We believed whatever it was at the time before we realized what we were seeing was crouched down. Like maybe it may have been trying to hide or just trying to do whatever. But this subject here went well over 6 foot tall. It was like probably tall enough to look down at the 6 foot subject. And at this point, you know, we weren't able to estimate, you know, figure if that was 6 foot tall, this has got to be at least 8 foot tall. And the most of what we've seen out of this here, well, this subject here apparently had a little bit more movement to it. When it actually turns its head, and that's when we saw a whole round mass, you know, going down, sloping down to the shoulders.
Wow.
And now we're getting pumped. Now we're convinced that what we're seeing is nothing that's normally should be here, you know. So yeah, we're starting to get convinced that what we're observing right now is a family of squatches. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a juvenile, we have a possible, you know, even though we can't see the details, we may have a female, and this we have a much bigger boy right here, which we may, you know, it's got to be the male, because like I said, we've seen eye shine blinking off the tall one. He had apparently turned his head, looked back, took a step or two, looked back at us again. Because during one of the head movements is when you can see the silhouette, the shape of the head. You know, it was big, too. It wasn't no little tiny head. It was big. And
I suppose at this time, too, you guys are all getting, like, major, like, the energy around there was probably just incredible. I mean, what were you guys feeling? Just like, oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. There is actually a video of our behavior during this whole event.
Nice.
I did not know it was happening during this time, but Cliff Stanley that was with us, actually was filming it. He was trying to capture this on film. And now later on, well, I'll say this much. I could direct you to the video footage, but some people claim they can see the eye shine in the video. I personally can't pick it up, but there's been several that I could see it. I don't know how they see it, but I personally can't. To me, it didn't pick up like that. Like, because what we saw in person, there were very large, bright yellowish glowing eyes, and they're on the eye shine, the blinking, and then the head movement, you know, all that was very obvious. And keep in mind, me and Tracy Arnold, we were probably the only ones with backpacks on. So during this whole observation, we were acting excited. We were actually, some of us were trying to give vocalizations, trying to trigger a response to hear anything from off of them. Not once did they make any noise. They were very still, besides the, you know, the head movement and the small one swaying around. I don't know. We've believed that they were very curious. It's like, the thing is, why didn't they go away? Why didn't they want to disappear more? Did they feel like they were already hidden when we got there? You know, these are all the thoughts that were running through my mind. If they're elusive, why they hang around there? A chance for us to see them, you know?
Yeah.
Because we were talking. We weren't quiet. Before we got to that location, we were not quiet. We were talking just like me and you guys are. You know what I mean? You know, just walking through, you know, up the forest road, you know, on a narrow road surrounded by woods on both sides. And down in this little area there where we were observing them. And I actually got this spot marked, too. Till this day, I got an empty water bottle sitting on top of a limb. And every time I go there, it's still there. So, well, we were observing them, you know, and this, you know, a lot of people probably won't believe this, but it had been at least a good 10 minutes. And, you know, to a lot of people, that's like crazy because, you know, maybe if it was a daytime encounter, a daytime sight, I mean, maybe not as long. But the thing is, that's mainly what we saw, you know, is the silhouette and the eye shine. What people don't realize, and this is something I often thought about, why didn't we see detail? I mean, were they black? Was their hair black? You know, was it blending in with the midnight? I mean, you know, these are questions that I think about, you know. I mean, I don't know why we didn't see more detail, which I believe we should have. But seeing the silhouette and the eye shine, and what we were observing, and we were about 40 feet away from them, and, you know, and they didn't make no approach to us. You know, they stood their ground, they stayed there, and then finally they end up turning off and disappearing further into the darkness. And while we went our way, but while we were walking away, you know, the couple that was with us, I think she was freaking out. She's, oh my God, they're paralleling us. I said, well, they're walking through the woods. You know, they're going to step on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, yeah.
No. No, you know. We're about ready to go to our half the show break.
No.
Hold that question because I see there's questions in the chat room as well. We'll get to those when we come back from our break. Stay tuned, okay. Everyone. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okie dokie.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the Journey Radio Show. And when we are not live on the air, you can find us online at thejourneyradioshow.com. Hey, and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thejourneyonradio. And we are the She Squatchers tonight because we're talking Bigfoot. So, hey, check us out online at shesquatchers.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/SheSquatchersOfficial. And remember, She Squatchers Official is how you can find our YouTube channel. So please do check us out there and give us some likes on Facebook. Tonight we are talking with Daniel Benoit from the ECBRO, the East Coast Bigfoot Research Organization. He is the founder of that, and he is also heading up and organizing the ECBRO Virginia Bigfoot Conference, which will be June 30th and July 1st this year, and we will be there. So come on out and see us. There's going to be a tons of amazing people there. I know the Ohio Night Stalkers are going to be speaking there, isn't it? Ron Moorhead, Tracy Arnold, right? Michael mm-hmm. Cook. Yeah. I'm just going off the top of my head right now. Who else is coming?
Well, Michael Cook is coming. I think he wanted me to kind of keep that on a down low, though. Yeah, I think it was more of a surprise that he was going to come up there. But so, I don't know if he's stalking you guys or what, but I just, I don't know.
Saw him last month. Michael Cook will be on the show with us next week, everybody. So make sure.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, as far as our list of speakers, I will give you the rundown on our speakers here. All right. It's easier if I'm looking at their pictures because I will end up getting tongue-tied or not.
Oh, it's okay. They can just go look it up, Daniel. It's okay.
Yeah, they can do that. I don't want to hold up your time. So.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you a couple of the questions that have been floating around in the chat room. And so somebody asked, does your team use a central area or a command center when you're out looking for Bigfoot that can keep account of all the teams of individuals using their equipment? And that way you could generalize or minimize sounds.
Well, that's a good question. First of all, most of our outings, when we do a group outing, we normally keep it down to a very low minimum. We average between 6 and 8. I think the largest we've had on an outing is 9 people. And the thing is, a lot of it, because there is some youth involved. Now, as far as equipment wise, depends if the others are new into this. Most of the equipment that's used out there is usually cameras for, documenting. At nighttime, most of the equipment that's used is normally at base camp, unless we're doing some, general observations around camp at night. We don't normally keep track. Everybody's responsible for their own gear. If somebody is using something, it is announced. No one's going to say, hey, I'm going to go off here with my FLIR, Well, if somebody's got a FLIR, we want to know about it. But now we don't have no special operation. Now there is, I do have a protocol if I have large enough groups where, for example, our upcoming event, if our camping trip does consist of a large quantity of people, there will be organized, between me and, I got a couple others that will help assist and break up and lead groups. I will also have groups, I don't want to say weaker, but, for those who want a easy to moderate, hike, there's plenty of areas I could send them along. There is areas I would love to get a group of people in. It is a little bit more, I don't want to say treacherous, but it's not easy. It gets easier once the further you go in, but to get into it, get started, you can't be a sissy, worry about a few prickers or briars and getting your feet wet to get through there. But, it's well worth it. I've been in there by myself and, it's awesome though. But, if you want to find something, if you want a chance to find something, you can't be scared to explore. I have no problem going. People ask me, is there anyone ever with you when you go out? Yeah, but 90% of the time or 95% of the time, I am by myself. And, I take my time. I don't have to have somebody rush me. I'm like, hurry up, I'm tired. Having people with you, it will slow you down more than you want to be slowed down. Trust me, I've done it. I've hiked, explored. When I go out there with people, I have a mindset of wanting to head to a certain area to get out there to do my exploring. But sometimes you stop for a second, you turn around, you're looking for everybody, you know, because they can't queue up. I'm not a fast walker. I'm just, I guess, you know, when I get out in the woods, I'm a different person. I can go and go and go. I mean, I'm the, you know, the Energizer Bigfooter, you know, so, so, but I don't know, but, I don't know. I have a lot of stamina, so, I don't know. So, but,
on that note, on that note, so another person wanted to know, why do you think that they do the swaying motion? And you're telling a story, you're talking about how they were swaying back and forth. Why do you think they do that?
I believe it's curiosity. How many times do we hear reports from others where they're normally standing next to a tree swaying back and forth? Now, this is something I shared. I don't know if I ever shared it with you guys on the last show or anything. Now, I didn't see this. This is coming from my daughter. There was probably about 6 years ago. About five, six years ago. We were camping in an actual campground. But where we went hiking and exploring was up behind a campground. This area is all part of the parkway. And right around this corner has been sightings documented. There are actually BFRO reports not far from this particular area. But while we were hiking and exploring, you know, the kind of cut to the chase, there was me, my daughter, and there's this other fellow Bigfooter that we end up running into that was actually camping there. And I've heard of him, and I actually end up running into him there. So we all got together and did some exploring. Well, my daughter, she kind of wandered up ahead a little bit, you know, where she was still within view. After one point where, you know, I was trying to catch up to her, when I got up to her, I happened to look down at her face, and I noticed she had tears coming down her face. And
oh, no.
I was like, what's wrong with you? I'm looking right at her. I said, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? Then she starts crying a little harder as she's raising her hand up, pointing. And, you know, I said, what are you pointing at? She said, it's looking right at me. It keeps peeking out behind that tree over there. I was like, what? I'm looking in her direction. I get right behind her. Look, I'm not seeing nothing. I don't know what she saw. But whatever she saw kept peeking. That's what she keeps describing. It kept sticking its head out, going back and forth, going up, you know. And I said, I'm trying to get this, you know, my head. I said, is she really seeing something? Because I'm not seeing it. So she described it was probably about her height, which is telling me that's, well, it's a little over 4.5 feet tall at the time. You know, my daughter, she's about 5'4", whatever. And, so, you know, this is 5-6 years ago. So she, you know, was a few inches smaller. And so here's something that's around 5 inches. You know, I mean, 5 feet. And, you know, and I was like, okay, it's got to be a juvenile. Because, you know, you hear a lot of stories about juveniles. They're curious, playful creatures, you know. And then I've heard of other reports I've gotten from hunters who have claimed to have seen where they're standing by. Normally they're like a statue next to a tree or they're kind of swaying by a tree. But, you know, my personal belief, my opinion is I believe it's their curiosity kind of mixed with maybe a little anxiety. Like they're anxious for some reason. Like,
interesting.
Like, yeah, like they're curious, but like yet, like they're trying to figure out, do I stay here or just keep staring at them, you know? So I don't know. It just depends on how you want to look at it. But I believe curiosity has a lot to do with it, though. So, yeah. So
I'm anxious to see what happens when you take your daughter out there with her blue hair.
Well,
that would make them more curious.
If she's dyed it back. It's back to blonde now. So.
Oh, darn it. All right. There goes Mike's Smurf experiment.
But your daughter sounds like a toughie. Your daughter, she sounds like she's really good out in the woods and that she's pretty tough and she knows she's doing out there.
I will tell you what, I've had her out there on a number of occasions. She is very good at being observant. I've had her, here's one incident. I've had her hunting with me. We're walking out this trail, you know, she's behind me. I'm walking up ahead of her. And we're approaching the field. I'm looking up ahead through the field. I'm not seeing nothing. She tells me, Daddy, stop. There's deer up there. I said, no, there isn't. She said, Daddy, look. She's pointing. And I'm looking. And all of a sudden, there they go. Two of them take off. I was like, How'd you see them? I didn't see them. They must have been cloaking. So, for the record, I know there's people out there that believe in cloaking. For the record, I don't. I just use it as a joke. I'm sorry.
that was good. I liked it. Yeah. I thought it was great.
But, you know, that's just one incident. But at the same time, I do believe that, and, you know, and I think you girls will agree with me, but there's been other occasions I've had, you know, another female with me. Well, let me back up on that. I'm still using my daughter right now. There's one particular area I used to go into all the time. I used to find some cool stuff in there. Not once have I ever experienced any vocalizations or anything. But the one particular time I had brought Brianna in there with me, we got so far in, and then all of a sudden it sounded like walking into a zoo, into the primate exhibit, you know, where all the primates start going crazy, you know, doing their chants and rants or whatever, and their hoots and, you know, the little whoops and everything they do. And and it got loud. Some of it sounded close, like it was just over the other side of the ridge, or some of it sounded like it was up ahead of us. And Brianna's like, "Daddy, are those coyotes?" I said, "No, those ain't coyotes. I know my coyotes. I hear enough of them, you know." I said, "These are not coyotes." And so I'm like, I kind of wanted her to keep walking. You know? I'm gonna stay here. I wasn't gonna use her as bait, but no, I was like, I just noticed that, you know, it's just all the time I've been in this spot, I never hear nothing. But I brought her in here, and it sounds like you're in a zoo. So, so that was awesome.
You're noticing a difference when there's females around.
Absolutely, exactly. Absolutely. So, you know, I don't know. Do you think it's the pheromone? A pheromone that the female might give off that us males don't have. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Lauren Coleman, when he actually inspired us to start doing this, and he actually said that men give off a pheromone that the great apes don't like. And so he just assumed that that also applies to Bigfoot. So it's men who have the disgusting smell pheromone that they don't like, according to him. Women do give off a pheromone too. And I think maybe Bigfoot is interested in that.
Yeah.
And more interested in us. For a curious reason. I think we're not as threatening, but Lauren Coleman thought that they would be, you know, a little more curious about us for those other reasons as well. but so we're really putting ourselves out there when we go out there.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I've had, this is a while back. She's just a friend. She likes to go hiking. She likes to go hiking, exploring. And, she heard that I was going out to the woods. And she was like, "Man, can I come?" I was like, "You really want to go out there?" I was like, "Sure, I'll pick, you know." I picked her up on the way out there. And there's along the way. And she knows what I do, you know. I don't know if she's a believer. I think she kind of is. But she don't really get too involved with it. Talks too much about it, but you know, she's an outdoor girl. She goes hunting, you know, and all this. And so she's asking a few questions as we're getting out there, you know, about Bigfoot, you know, and I was like, you know, I happened to mention, I said, "It's believed that Bigfoot is drawn in by females or something by their scent." So it's funny when we get there, when we park my vehicle and before we start hiking down this one trail, she pulls out of her backpack, one of her spray, you know, her body sprays.
And
I was like, she soaked herself in it. And I mean, I definitely had to keep my distance. It was nice smelling, but she overdone it. So I was like, wow. She wanted to attract something out there. I said, "That sweet smell is going to get, there's a lot of bears out here." I said, "That will attract bears." I said, "Maybe. I don't have nothing but a Bowie knife with me."
But maybe she was just trying to attract you with that sweet smell.
Well, she overdid it.
Yeah, too much is too much.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was a good time out there. But, you know, we had, I think we did have a little activity out there. And she heard it. She observed it for herself. Because when this one particular area we were in, what it is, we split off the main trail. We went into the woods, and we kind of stayed spread apart, but we ended up walking through the, you know, woods, and it came around, and then came back down. We met back down. We came down on this, the upper part of a trail, where we end up kind of finally taking a break, getting, you know, drinking some water, and we kept our stuff down there in this open area, and then there was an area where the trail splits up, goes up one hill, and there's another area where the small, narrower trail splits and crosses a creek, and it goes off the other way. Well, we decided, well, let's go take a walk up here, because, you know, on this particular part of the trail, a lot of dirt, exposed dirt, and some of it looked soft. I told her, these are the kind of areas around here, if there's anything that's been up here, you know, any tracks will be seen in this kind of area. So that's what we did. We started looking for tracks in this area. Didn't come across nothing. But I'm just staring there, and I'm on the edge of this trail as it's going up a hill, and I'm overlooking, you know, it's a drop-off right there. I'm overlooking the forest, kind of scanning my eyes, because everything's all nice, bright, and green. A lot of laurel brush, a lot of ferns. And one thing got my attention real quick. She was up a little further above me, but back down towards where our backpacks were, there was a tree knock that came from down there. As soon as I heard it, I asked her, did you hear that? Because it was loud enough. She said, yeah, I think I did. So I ran back down there. You know, by the time I get back down there, I'm hearing this big crash right inside the woods, you know, just beyond our backpacks. I was like, at the time, I didn't have my camera with me. I had my camera phone with me, not my camcorder. I pulled my phone out. I said, I got to go check this out. There's something over here. And sure enough, I have a video showing me walking through these tall ferns. These ferns are about 4 or 5 feet tall in this one particular area, and a lot of laurel brush. And I'm taking my time exploring in there. You know, and there's a couple of areas where you can see these big ferns massively mashed down, you know, and I'm looking, taking my time. Something's been in here. And then I started seeing this other stuff that's like, this is awesome. There's trees bent over with each other, and you can see they're twined together. There's no way they grew like that. And then there's something else I came across. It was before I came out of the woods back to the trail, but I found some other stuff in there that was really, that was mind-blowing. I was like, this is not natural. But whatever was in there, there was something in there, because I was pretty sure whatever was in there wasn't that far off. It seemed like whatever it was may have been ducking or hiding, but because so there was something in there that gave off a tree knock, and then something made that smashing sound. So, but to me, I don't know. I don't know what that could have been. I mean, if it was a squatch, was it alerted because of her? You know, like, was he mad because she stunk? I don't know. I don't know, but it was, I don't know. It was interesting. It was so definitely interesting.
You're always talking about going into certain areas, and I'm just curious. Are you going into the same general area? Do you think, and if you are, do you think they're just kind of getting used to maybe you, and that's why they're maybe coming out a little bit more?
Well, this particular area that I had, well, this one I was just telling the story about, this is not a common area that I go into. I've only been into this one particular location like maybe once before.
Oh.
Now, this area here is connected. It's all part of the National Forest, but it's over 40-something minutes away from where I mainly hang out at. But I've heard reports in this particular area. Actually, if you look up BFRO, if I give you the name of the location, there's BFRO reports in the area. But this is right around the corner from that camp house. You know, my daughter said she saw something at.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, so this is it's a couple miles from the camp, but still, it's all connected. So I don't know. I mean, the Blue Ridge Parkway, this is all part of the National Forest that connects to the Blue Ridge Parkway. So, and the Blue Ridge Parkway alone has a lot of history, a lot of reports. So,
Dense forest.
What's that?
Dense forest.
Oh yeah. Oh, most definitely. You know, if you explore enough through the area, you'll see that some areas are more oaks and maples. You go in some areas, you'll have your pines, mountain laurel, you know, and jungle looking ferns all in the area. You know, marshy areas, stuff like that. But you'll have a lot of sections of these, but, you know, they're kind of like dispersed. They're all spread out, you know, it depends on where you go. I don't know. There's caves in the area. I know I've spoken to other hikers and bike riders that come out of that area, and I've asked about caves and I've heard about caves. Some of these people that know this area said, yeah, if you go so many miles up there to that Jeep trail, there's a cave that's on top of there. And the interesting thing is the one guy told me, he said, yeah, if you approach it, you're going to feel a lot of heat. It's like, they said it holds a lot of heat. I said, that's interesting. So that tier, to me, kind of made me think of a theory where a lot of people, and I personally believe that Bigfoot does dwell underground. Now, do they do that all the time? I don't think so, but I do believe they are, they take refuge in caves and, you know, deep dens and stuff for shelter. Bears do. I mean, you know, bears will, they use a number of things. They'll use fallen timber as shelter. So why not a bear as well? I mean, why not a squatch, you know? I do believe bears and squatches have a lot of similarities and share a lot of similar behaviors and, you know, traits and so forth. I don't know. I mean, the forest is what it is. There's a lot to be discovered out there. I've experienced quite a bit out there. I've had other situations where the squatches, there was one particular area back in 2015. I was by myself. And it's funny, this is right around the corner from our 2014 encounter. And there was no one else in the area. I was totally by myself. I didn't see nothing, but I was just curious myself to walk outside of the camp, to walk out to the forest road, with a spotlight. The spotlight wasn't turned on. And get out to the middle of the road, I decided to start turning on my spotlight. And apparently I spooked the heck out of a deer. It took off real quick. I didn't see it, but you could hear it. You know, if you ever hear a deer take off, you'll know what they sound like. And I was like, oh, okay. Because there's deer all in the area. Deer come right behind your camp. You'll hear the deer scuffling around in the leaves behind your camp. And then as I was panning the spotlight, apparently I spooked up whatever else was just inside the tree line. And the tree line was like 20 feet from me. Whatever that was, now I personally did, I will say this, I do not believe it was a bear, because what I heard was bipedal, 2 feet, and it was very heavy, and every step it took was a crunch and a thump. It sounded like it had force, it had power, oomph into it. And as I was hearing this, not seeing nothing, and here it is about 10 o'clock at night, and I got a spotlight in my hand, no weapon. My shotgun was at camp because it was during hunting season. I was camping out. I walked completely backwards with my back towards camp in the spotlight facing the woods, my hand down on my belt because I had my unlock my panic button for my blazer I had at the time. Mm-hmm. So, but you never know what to expect to either hear or see or whatever it may be in the woods out there. It's always something. There's a lot of mystery out there. And just so much to experience out there. I mean, I've had whoops and tree knocks during broad daylight, you know, when I've been by myself. I've had others with me experiencing the same thing, rock throws, rock clang. I mean, all of these little minor things, I call them minor things, but even though they still excite me when they'd happen, I've had rocks thrown at me, big rocks thrown at me in creeks next to me, I mean, so many little things I could probably go on about, you know, randomly, you know, a lot of the information I could tell you about that I experienced. And without doubt, I will tell you, I do believe, you know, even though a lot of what I experience, the source is not seen, but without doubt, there is Sasquatch that is responsible for this. And, you know, I could get into other detail explaining why I believe Sasquatch is responsible for it, you know. You know, then I could also share my objective side of things too. So I'm not one of those people that say Bigfoot's responsible for everything, you know, so I am a very objective, and I know we're coming to a close.
We are coming towards the end of the show, and I know you wanted to give some tickets away for the Bigfoot conference.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, You know, we were going to do a trivia, but I'm going to do a little different here. And for those who are listening, for your chance to win tickets, all right, for your chance to win tickets to the ECBRO, First Annual Virginia Bigfoot Conference, if you go to our event page found on Facebook, give our page a like and share our page. And then through the event page, send me a message directly saying that you heard me on the radio. So again, it's very simple. If you want a chance to win tickets, give our page a like, share our page, and send me a message through the event page that you heard me on the Journey Radio. So, and then
the event page is facebook.com/ECBRO.conference, right?
Yes. Or sometimes I tell people, yeah, you can enter in on your search menu bar on Facebook. Yeah, ECBRO First Annual Virginia Bigfoot Conference. So, and it's happening June 30th and July 1st. Perfect. And there's camping following that event. The camping is free. So
come out and see us, everybody. Come out and see us. And we're at the end of the show. So they want to thank Danny Benoit for coming back and sharing his stories with us. We always appreciate that. And his massive beard.
massive
beard.
You may not see it in a couple months.
Well, that's all right. We can see it now. And thank Jenna for joining me tonight. And thank you, Sarge, our awesome producer. Thank you, ParaX, our network. And make sure you tune in next week because we'll have Michael Cook, Bigfoot researcher, on the line with us. He does monster hunting. So it's all kinds of cryptids. So come out and see us next week with Michael Cook. And until then, chill out, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody. Everyone.